Now, I know many of you will have been watching Find Me a Family on BBC Northern Ireland, the series last night. It has followed 11 young people in care between 18 months and 18 year old as our social workers attempt to find them a loving adoptive family. And it's very moving stuff, I have to say. I was flicking through last night and came across it. So look, to continue this conversation in what is National Adoption Week, I'll be speaking to some key players in a wee moment or two. First of all, a little reminder of Angel's story. She's only four, and this is from last night's programme.
Angel is 4 years old. She's living in a temporary foster home.
Nobody wants to separate children from their parents. However, there are occasions when it really needs to be done, and this was one of them.
Angel was taken into care age two.
She had suffered chronic neglect. The foster care very clearly recorded how her fingernails and her toenails were all curled over. They were dirty. She bathed her immediately. And she slept the clock round for 3 days.
A number of adopters have been approached about Angel, but they've all turned her down because of her learning difficulties. The older Angel gets, the harder it will be for her to adapt to a new home.
Angel there. Well, Rachel Hooper, the programme producer, joins us, as does Jackie Bradley, one of the adoptive parents who also features in the series. And ladies, good afternoon to you both. Rachel, I found it profoundly moving. I don't even think you might have been given to expect the reaction you've had online about this. It's been nothing short of phenomenal.
No, I mean, we're totally overwhelmed by it. It's been a four-year project. And when we started it, I think if we'd known quite how long it was going to take, we may not have been quite so gung-ho about it. Mm-hmm. But the thing that's moved us the whole way through is the capacity of the carers and the children to cope with what life throws at you. Children are just so resilient. And the carers' capacity to love is just remarkable. And I think that's what's really overwhelmed people. They felt that they have had a sort of a glimpse of a world that they knew nothing about.
Yeah, people can really put it in for the social workers and stuff. I have to say I was most impressed with the calibre of these people who are trying to do the most difficult of tasks. Well, come to us the process in a second, Rachel. Yeah. Firstly, tell me about the decisions you and your team made. I tell you what surprised me. I saw these children, I heard these children speak, I would have recognised these children from their, you know, biological communities. And clearly the decision taken to identify, and that maybe is problematic. How did you deal with that as a producer?
That's why it's taken 4 years to make. Because we watched a film, Louise Liddy, the other director and myself, we saw a film that was done by Panorama called The Truth About Adoption. And what was remarkable about it was that the children told their own stories. And we really felt that a lot of the time you are hearing people tell stories about children, but you never hear from them. The decisions are being made about them and they're not in the room. And we wanted them to tell their own stories. And clearly that's very problematic, because how can children give consent to do this? So we worked with the Northern, Western and Belfast Trust. We worked with the health board to come up with a process that was really robust in terms of making sure that consent was given at every level for the children. Mm-hmm. And the key thing for us was that we learned about life story work, which Jackie knows all about. Mm-hmm. It's really important that children, when they're in the care system, understand where they've come from, understand why they're in the care system, why their birth parents couldn't look after them. And the work that we've done with them, the filming that we've done with them, the programme, is part of their life story work.
See, so but I find myself, Rachel, thinking about those other parents, the parents who were often fighting to keep their children, but it was clear that the case was being made against them for neglect and all the rest. And I bet you in a lot of communities, those parents are easily identifiable. I found myself thinking about those parents too.
Yeah, well, we thought about them as well. And in every case, the birth parents knew what we were doing. And you see in the second film that one of the birth parents chose to take part in the film. Mm-hmm. Because it had to be that every person, which is why it took so long to find the right people to work with, because it had to be where anybody who was in a vulnerable position was looked after. So in each case, the birth parents were part of the equation. It wasn't that we made the film and thought said cheerio. Mm-hmm. That was very much part of the story with each of these children.
Oh, Jackie, good afternoon to you. Jackie, I'm sure you would agree with me that the power in this programme is hearing from these little ones, and the way they talk about life and the way they talk about, you know, getting a bit of structure in life. And the little lad, for goodness sake, talking about, you know, he was so grateful that these people, these prospective adoptive parents, they feed me. Almost like that was that was a great gift in life.
Yes, that's my little boy who had said that.
Goodness.
In the programme last night, yeah. No, our kids kids that have come through the foster care system are definitely old before their time. And the word resilient is a word that is most definitely used about children who have entered the foster care system. And I know for the four that we have in our lives that we joke sometimes and say if you cut them open, through the middle of them is the word resilient. Mm-hmm. They are little survivors.
But Jackie, in life, what do you observe then as an adoptive mum? The story that's ahead of these young kids, because I noted last night that some families were saying, look, we don't even say they're adopted. There are, I'm the daddy and I'm the mummy and I'm the child. I'm not the adoptive child. But clearly, the irony here is that this program's been so darn successful and watched that half the country now knows these kids' stories. Is that a concern of yours?
No. I think that point last night, I think it was McFarland had said that when they talk about William, you know, they don't say, I'm the adopted mummy, this is my adopted son. You know, I would never do that either. I suppose just as other people have children, they don't say, I'm the birth mother. Mm-hmm. We just use the titles mother, father and son. But the reality is, you know, this is not the 1950s. Children know they are adopted. Life story work is so important. And so they know that they have roots in another family, in a birth family, and they come from that birth family, and for whatever reason they're now living in another family.
So in a way you're removing the Victorian shame, if you like, the old-fashioned shame.
Adoption is, you know, it's no longer when somebody at 60 has buried a parent and is going through a box of certificates and mm-hmm. find, oh my goodness, I was actually adopted all these years. No, and contact is a huge thing now in post-adoption that children still have, whether it's face-to-face or it's letterbox contact, meaning that there's an exchange of information once, twice, three, four times a year, whatever is good for the child, because adoption is all about the child. It's not about, unfortunately, that birth family that couldn't keep the child. It is not about the adoptive couple who are desperate to be parents. It's all about the child and making sure that child who should have had a good, secure upbringing, maybe hasn't had it,
Indeed. But
now has the opportunity to have it. So contact is hugely important. And that child having the life story work, knowing exactly who they are, who their roots are, not just for medical reasons, but for
every reason.
Mannerism.
Yeah. Jackie and Rachel, do stay with me because I do want to come to my studio guests here closer to home. You mentioned William there, Jackie, and his relationship, again, was most touching. This is a little reminder, maybe for listeners who didn't see the telly. This is just a little part of William's story last night.
We never introduced William. This is our adopted son.
No.
Never, ever would that come into our mind. He is just William. So when people says, do you have any children? Mm-hmm. Yes, we have William. And that's where it stops.
That there's my adoption day certificate. I got this whenever I was adopted, and it confirms that I'm a part of a proper family now, because I can live a proper family life and not be going between families in, like, foster care. My birth mum and dad didn't know how to look after me. The way you're supposed to feed a baby after 4 hours, every 4 hours, they didn't do that. They just left me to sleep. That's when social services got involved and they moved me. And whenever I got to foster care, I had to be fed every 2 hours. It makes me feel a bit odd because everyone else is living a normal straight through life while me, I've been moving, like, it's kind of like a piece of paper, but like a piece of wood. And whenever other people's just smooth wood, and like mine's just been like chopped with an axe a wee bit, like scuffed. So that's how it really makes me feel. That's how I'd describe it.
He is a remarkable kid. Rachel, as I say, just before I come to my studio guests, I watched that, and I'm giving you my honest to goodness reaction. I saw what he said and I thought, you know, maybe you were waiting for horrible abuses, and you know and I know that kids go through the most awful of abuses. It struck me in that case, okay, so mum or dad or whomever got the feeding of the child wrong. And I thought to myself, surely that could have been corrected in a meaningful way in the family unit. And I was wondering how that merited adoption. Help me understand that.
Well, obviously we can't talk about specific cases.
Of course.
What you have to understand is that is William's understanding of why he's in care. And, you know, I can't go into the specifics of that.
What I can tell you is
that having worked with social workers and having seen the processes they go through, and in fact you hear it when you hear the birth mum, she talks about the fact that she was offered rehabilitation. Part of the reason that there is so much delay with adoptions in Northern Ireland is that the birth parents are given chance after chance after chance to work this through. And often there is rehabilitation. Often, you know, children do get to go back to their parents. Mm-hmm. And that is what the first thing social workers said to me was, our aim is not to take children away from parents. Our aim is to keep them with birth family, because in 99 times out of 10, that is the best place for them to be. But when it's not, it is absolutely the last thing that we want to do.
And we want to come to that process in a moment. As I say, Leona McMenamin is with me in studio here in Derry from Kinship Care, and Sarah, who cares for a younger sister. Ladies, good afternoon to you both. Sarah, you're broadly speaking in your
20s. Yeah.
And what age is wee sis?
7.
How's she? And how have you coped with this whole process?
She's great. She's doing brilliant at school. She's well settled in with me. I mean, the process overall has been good. There's been a few sticking points, but we've got over that.
In the broadest terms, was it bereavement that gave you the situation? Or can I don't want to be too nosy about this, obviously, but what required you to step in as an adoptive sis?
It just wasn't safe for her to be at home anymore.
Okay. Enough said.
Yeah.
Enough said. Did you watch the little series
that
she did?
I saw it last night.
Incredible.
Yeah. Amazing.
Well, what did you think when you were watching it?
I suppose it just struck a chord with me. You know, it's so sad to see, you know, children as young as that talking the way that they were talking, and having to go through that process.
Bright as buttons.
Yeah, definitely. Sometimes they maybe know maybe too much, have seen maybe too much, but definitely struck a chord with me last night. I mean, it's so sad. It's hard to believe.
So 20 years between you two. How difficult is it to define a role as a sister when a mother is required? How difficult is it to be a mother when a sister is required?
It's hard to juggle both. But it kind of, you know, there's boundaries. She kind of knows that I'm the boss at home.
But you would be anyway as a big sis.
Yeah. But we have fun as well, like, you know, days out and things like that. But definitely in terms of, you know, doing homework and eating your dinner at the table and things like that, you know, I'm the boss, and that's what has to be done. So,
how do you feel about the fact that life has dealt you this hand and required you to step in a way that most 20-year-olds would never even have to consider? How do you feel about that?
I don't have no regrets. If I had to do it again, I would. I suppose just giving her a better life. I know it's not something that everybody has to do, but when that hand is dealt to you, you deal with it. And I mean, I couldn't bear to see her going into care. I could not see that happening. Mm-hmm.
But a huge decision for you as a young woman in the prime of life to say, I choose to curtail my life, can I put it like that, in the interest of my little sister?
I suppose you could put it like that, but I don't feel like I've given anything up. You know, I'm still working. I'm still doing the things I want to do, although some things I know I've probably put off until later on in life, but I mean, if it's given her the best opportunities now, then why not?
Leona, thanks for being here as well from Kinship Care. I know you weren't involved in the series, but I did want to talk to you about your impressions of the process, because the minute we put this story up online today, it'll not surprise you that immediately some very personal accounts coming in from people saying the system is wrong, the system is too slow, we wanted to adopt, we were told we couldn't, and so that dialogue started. Does that surprise you?
Definitely it doesn't surprise me. I suppose it's families here that we are dealing with at the end of the day, and there has to be a time where families have the right to come back and fight for their children as well. As you did say, I do work with Kinship Care Northern Ireland, and we do feel that family is the best place for children, but we also do agree that that necessarily isn't the case for all children. 99% we would agree should stay with family, but sometimes it isn't always the right place depending on the family situation, and we find every family is very different, all their circumstances are very different, and the needs of the children are different within every family as well, so it can be quite a long process to ensure they are doing everything for the rights of the children.
Do you know, people give off about the media all the time, and Rachel in our other studio is not here for pats on the back, but I feel that stuff like this, when it's done properly, it is remarkably powerful. I hadn't a clue about how this stuff works. I hadn't a clue the way the case meetings happened. I hadn't a clue what the little ones understood or didn't. And suddenly, it felt to me last night, I don't know about you, Leona, but it's almost like somebody just took the curtain back on this issue.
Yeah, I suppose we have been working on this issue for Kinship Cares in Existence for 5 years now, and it is very remarkable. The processes are there for a reason. They are there to make sure they are doing everything for the rights of the families and the children. And, you know, you do see the children grow better. They have more confidence and self-esteem. Their education's a lot better when they are with family. So it definitely is remarkable for all involved, and it can be quite a difficult process, mm-hmm. even for the social workers that you seen in the programme last night. You seen when some of those children were placed, how happy those social workers were, and it can be quite rewarding. But in the same hand, it is quite difficult for the social workers who do have to remove children from certain situations where those children have been clearly neglected and there could be abuse there as well.
Indeed. I mean, I'm blown away by some of the reactions to this story. We put it up online today, ladies, and do feel free to pitch in anywhere. Teresa tells me, when I was adopted, she says it was like going to the... She uses a heart-stirring phrase. She says it was like going to the pound to get a pup. They just lined up the newborns and you took your pick. Mia says the system is atrocious. I've inquired twice about adopting. I was told no, firstly because my youngest was not over five, and secondly because I was seeking treatment for fertility. People who want to adopt but are being refused, so the situation can't be that bad. I know it is, though. Amanda says the adoption system here, atrocious. I know of a few people over the years, including my own parents, who were willing to give children a home, but there were too many obstacles put in the way. I understand the adoption system has to be meticulous in assessment and prospective families, but not to the point where it's actually off-putting. And what about this? Dave Black tells me, due to adoption, I now have a beautiful niece and a very happy sister. It's a tough process, but well worth it to see the smile on their faces. Just one here, just and maybe if you want to pick up on this one, Rachel on Facebook. Lydia says, so sad. I was bawling, as we say locally. And my kids watched it and found it hard that some children don't have the luxury of a loving home. The system is wrong. It's so difficult to adopt, and I've heard from other how mentally draining the process can be. I think the family who adopted the four kids spoke of this. Do you want to pick up on that, Michelle? It's almost like a singular theme here. Loving, caring, giving people would adopt if they possibly could, Rachel.
Yes, they really... I mean, what I wanted to show... I mean, when we started, we had all different ideas of how we were going to do this. It was such a huge topic. How were we going to convey this incredibly complex situation to people who knew nothing about it? So what's lovely is to hear your reaction, because your reaction is exactly what we hoped people would say. And in the end, we realised what we have to do is show people like Jackie and Paul, show how their lives have been transformed and the way in which they have said, this is going to be hard, but we're doing this together and we think we can make this work.
Well, Jackie, tell me what you think of the system.
Well, our process took 6 years.
6 years.
6 years from we've made the first phone call to the family placement team in our local area.
So can I ask what time your little one was, what age your little one was when you finally became the adoptive parents?
Ours, on that day when we adopted them, 7, 8, almost 10 and 11.
So those 6 previous years, absolutely formative, crucial years.
Mm. Yes. Yes.
Incredible.
You know, the process is what it is. You could do a whole other 3 episodes on the process and perhaps the judiciary and that side of it. You know, social workers are, I think, underpaid. The departments are understaffed. And a lot of those girls and men, as you've seen in the programmes, are absolute heroes. And they do the best they can with the limited resources.
They were impressive.
They do have. Very, very impressive. And, you know, our children's social worker, we had a social worker and the kids have a social worker, and when we were first having contact with the second set of siblings that were moving in with us, the little brother and sister, she came back, the social worker came back off her holidays from Tenerife. She was not due to be back in the office, but for continuity with the contact, she came back on just for one day to drive them down to us so that they would have the same social worker doing all the contact.
You see, those are things you just don't hear. Leona, what do you think about the process? There might be decision makers listening to this, and certainly they've been watching, I've no doubt, the entire trust system of healthcare in Northern Ireland will have watched this series. There are thousands even on our little Facebook thread about this today. How would you reshape or retune the system, if you could?
It's definitely a difficult question to answer, Mark. I suppose our role is we provide support to kinship carers who are going through the process, particularly formal kinship carers who are maybe going through their kinship assessment and finding out if they are the right person to take on the care of the child and see where the child is best suited, because there could be a number of family members that maybe are putting themselves forward to be the children's carers. So our role would be to support the kinship carer through that process and also advocate on their behalf and also the children's behalf. So I suppose there is difficulties within the system, and we all see that and we all agree that, and people are very stretched and under pressure.
Why would the authorities be so slow to change it? Because you're saying it. Everybody that's pitching into my thread is saying it. The message was clear last night. So why is there reticence to change? Is it a fear of getting it wrong if we make it easier?
To be honest, I honestly couldn't answer that, Mark. I'm not social work trained. I don't actually work within the department. As I say, I would advocate on behalf of kinship carers and the children that are actually living in kinship care. There is frustrations that we all do see. And I suppose it really does have to come from a departmental level. It really has to work from the top down. The people on the ground are very stretched, and we do see that in a day and daily basis.
No surprise there. I stressed National Health Service. Sir, easier for you, maybe people would imagine, because you're flesh and blood, or was it easier?
I don't know if it is any easier. You still go through a rigorous assessment, you know.
Was it quicker, though, than maybe it would have been if you were a stranger? No?
I'm not sure.
Not really?
No, it wouldn't be, no.
No, Leona, no. Just some other views here, and I must draw our conversation to a close. Andre says, yes, over 3 years to vet people, and yet anyone can breed, he says. Maybe it's not the most delicate of phrases, but anybody can have children. He's making the point that, you know, kids are brought into this world often without a thought, and yet these loving people who would adopt can take 3 years of their life, 6 years in Jackie's situation. The system should be there, of course, to put the children first in terms of safety, but 2 to 3 years, six actually, is ridiculous. It's not just he brings in the back home in Ireland thing, and it says it's the same everywhere across these islands. Mark, you should be aware, says Jacqueline Williamson, that although the number of children in care is featured in statistics within the public care system are at an all-time high, you also need to bear in mind that there are a significant number of children that are included in these statistics that are children in care living with extended family members. It's an important point to make, Leona. I think you were nodding at that.
Yes, definitely. That reflects the statistics that there is 2,835 children in the care system, but a lot of those are actually living with extended family. But they remain to be a statistic in Northern Ireland, because those carers and children can only access support because they are within the care system, and that support then would be therapeutic support, educational support. There's a number, even training for the carer in relation to challenging behaviours due to attachment issues and the trauma that the children have experienced in their short lives.
Leona, thank you for joining us, and Sarah, thank you for popping in. Just a final word to yourself, Jackie. Having been a part of this programme in particular, do you think it's changed the parameters of the conversation?
Absolutely.
Jackie, just come back to the mic. We've lost you there momentarily. Apologies.
Sorry.
Got you. Yeah,
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay, I was just saying that it definitely has, and that hopefully today a lot of folk are having a conversation about could they open their home up for foster care or for adoption. Absolutely.
And in a word, if you knew back then that it was going to take 6 years, would you have spent those 6 years fighting?
Yep.
You would?
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Ladies, thank you all. Most informative. Thank you indeed. On the line there from our Belfast studios, Rachel Hooper, the producer, one of the producers of this piece, and Jackie Bradley there, part of the programme. And here in studio, Leona McMenamin is from Kinship Care.